Father, we just ask you, we need your presence desperately this morning. As we think back through this year, Lord, please revive us in the things you've taught us and shown us and the visitations that we've had with you. Lord, the revelations that you've brought, the instructions you've given us, most of all, the love that's changed our lives. We need you this morning. Most of us have either been sick, are sick, or just tired. And we ask for great revival this morning in spirit, that you would just show up and invade. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So the general overview is pretty short, because we actually, Wednesday nighters, spent most of the year in the book of Revelation. And I'm going to quickly review what we saw in the book of Revelation. It's a big book, but it'll be just review quickly. We won't get everything. If you weren't here on Wednesday nights, you still got the overflow, because most of what came on Sundays came because we were in Revelation. But in general, God had invited us. I remember a vision where he said, you know, I'm inviting you to walk on water with me. And it doesn't always mean miracles. It doesn't always mean fun and laughter, everybody getting healed. Frequently it means come out into the unknown. Come out into the dangerous places. Walk into things you've not done before. Take a risk. And walk off the safe shores of this world into the unknown realms with God. So he's invited us to, I think we've done that in believing, even in the study of the book of Revelation, in believing some things that we've never seen before. I think he's opened up glimpses into heaven of what our future, our life is going to be like there. I know he showed me glimpses into my mansion, into my family there, into laying up treasures there, and how he, everything we lose here, he restores it there in a more glorious way than we could even imagine. Everything we give up here, it's kept there. And that was so encouraging to me, because you don't lose anything here. You just gain. Put it all in your treasure box. I've fallen so in love with heaven, I can hardly wait to get there. I feel like Paul saying, you know, for me to depart is the best. That's the greatest thing that could happen. I can't wait to go. You know, more and more people I love are there. And it would be wonderful to just go there and let this mission be done, because this is not my home. But for you, it is more beneficial that I stay. That's what Paul said. For your sake, I need to stay, because my mission here is not done. My mission's not done. I'm thrilled I get a lot of visions with God. But you know, I don't get them just to bless me. I could go there and be blessed. I get them to reveal things to help other people. Right. And partly to help me realize who I am and what my mission is. It's been a hard year. And I remember the verse stood out where God said, thank you for enduring, because it has been a hard year. It's been a very difficult year. There's been a lot of losses, a lot of trials, a lot of testing. And God says this morning to say, thank you, you who have endured. Thank you for trusting him during the hard times. Thank you for passing those tests and not quitting. Thank you for trying some new things. And I remember one day when it was really hard, the wall I was up against, it was hard to believe in the goodness and presence of God. And he said, I want you to take a fist of faith. And I felt in this vision like I was in a room, and there was this wall, and I was just trapped in this portion of my life, and I couldn't get out. And he said, I want you to take your fist of faith and punch that wall. And I punched that wall, and it made a little tiny hole in it. And he said, well, try it again, but this time turn on the power and let your fist be a drill. And I just set my fist against that little hole, and it turned into a drill, and it drilled a bigger hole. And he just kept telling me ways to attack this wall that was trapping me with faith, until the whole wall broke and I was out of the room. And sometimes we feel trapped by the circumstances of our life. And our faith is the only way out, to keep believing what we know, not what we see. Keep believing the future he's told us, and our mission and our purpose. Not where we're at today, but where we're going. Keep your eyes on your goals. Yep. In the last year, we planted a work in Ionia. and started off with a bang, but there were disappointments, there were disillusionments, there were discouragements, and he reminded me as I read through the initial visions of what he wanted to do there, how it's not about a business, it's about a city, it's about the people, it's about God winning them. And that's not done, so we're not done. We're not done. And it doesn't matter if we sell anything, if they make any money. That's not the point. There is a work to be planted there of winning people. It involves the streets. It involves the prisons. It involves the prisoners and the guards. And I am looking for people that will go with me and just get outside of Leida's and Nate's business and go after the people of the city. And I believe through that, he'll bless their business. To stay there is a kickoff place. But if we go focusing only on that place, it's just going to dwindle and die out. So I'm looking for people who want to go down there one day, 2 days, whenever you're free, whenever the weather permits to drive. Just go down there with me, and let's go walk the streets and find some people. God took us through refining fires in this year. He did some fine-tuning, and I think one of the things, the greatest things he did, was just breaking open the love of God. Apostle Harvey taught on the love of God every Sunday morning. I don't know, what was that chapter? Where was he teaching from? Oh, John 14. People remember that. I was just playing because I knew you could never forget. Weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. What does love look like? What is this love of God about? And then he went off. God took him out and put me in. And what did we come after? Love. God is love. We just kept right on going with God is love and how that love has to transform us and flow out of us to other people. So we've just been drowning in the preparation of walking in love and mercy. I think we spent years on mercy and forgiveness and now love. That is our weapons. Mercy and love are weapons because they come to stand against coldness and hate, anger and vengeance and violence. Our weapons are not carnal. Okay, that's a general overview. And I may not finish this one on the book of Revelation, but let's just go there and get started. So we took on the whole book of Revelation, and it was almost the entire year in Wednesday nights that we went through that book. The book of Revelation deals with the entire purpose of life on earth. And God's plan for us needs to be understood in order to take on a book like that. Because it's the end of the story of life. And you can't understand the end if you don't understand the beginning and the middle of a book. So it wasn't a quick process because we had to lay foundations. We had to be sure we understood the entire story. And it took nearly an entire year. We didn't go after this book by just looking up men's studies of all the facts and numbers and meanings of things that were strange. But we went after it by saying we're going to seek God himself. Just asking him to show us, reveal to us. Why do you want us to study it? What's in it for us? Practical. Unveil the book to us in preparation. The first chapter told us that the book is the revelation of Christ. The purpose is to see him as who he really is. He appeared in the book of Revelation in his full glory. And what was so awesome, the world has never seen him in full glory. But he was seen standing in the midst of the seven candlesticks. And the seven candlesticks are the completed, beautiful church that is here. It's us. And for this fullness of the glory of Christ to shine out into the world and his glory to cover the face of the earth would occur only through the people of his church, through his bride. That was so awesome. Christ will be seen on earth like he has never been seen before, through us. Right. And you know what? That's developing as love and mercy in us is developing, because that's who he is. Love, mercy, life. The things he's showing us about him is how he wants to show himself through us in a more glorious way than has ever been seen on earth before. What a privilege and honor. So in Isaiah 60, verse 2, if you want the verse for that, for behold, The darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. We know that that was talking to Christ, but Christ is in us. Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Christ in you is the hope of glory. The fullness in Christ in us has to be achieved and released. And that's what we are striving for, praying for, wanting, is the completion of God inside of us, the transformation to be completed, where we can not only love one another, we can love our enemies. Because in the end, the enemy is going to be coming against us and in so many different ways. Even this sickness that's on everybody, even these things that are happening. Why does God let these things happen? It's preparing us to continue showing love and mercy no matter how much we're suffering. I didn't give a reference on this, but it's a good verse, and you can probably find the reference. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, I know it's Ephesians 3, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Until you experience the greatness of this love, you don't get filled with all that God is in you. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So the first purpose of the whole book of Revelation is to see Christ, to know Christ, to experience Christ, to learn to be transformed, to let Christ live and shine through us in love and mercy and life. The second purpose of the book is to tell us of things to come and prepare us for those things that are coming. The third thing, we sought to find out, when is the rapture going to happen? The rapture is the taking up of all the Christians, gone in the twinkling of an eye, removed from earth, which will happen right before all the wrath is poured out. We talked about that. That's not our main thing that we looked for. But it is true that there is a time of rapture. And all the different religions, they debate if it's before the end time thing begins, if it's before the tribulation period. Is it in the middle of it? Is it at the end of it? We didn't try to name an exact time, but we did see that Christians will be here through a lot of the hard times and that they need to be prepared and be ready to represent God. If there were nobody here saved or could be saved, there would be no reason for God to even continue anything. It would already be hopeless. There would be no reason for time to exist. We learned about the war that's being fought on earth, that it's been between the kingdom of hate and the kingdom of love, evil versus good, and violence versus peace. And the entire work on earth has been a very short time, a very short it's just like in all of eternity, it's one little speck of something God is doing. As long and glorious as it seems to us, it's a tiny little glimpse in time. Revelation brings us to the end of that story and to face our real choice of where we're going to spend our time in eternity. There's another thing that was interesting about Christ, you know, I put down some awesome things that we saw, and one was, you know, him being seen in glory through the church. Another was that none of his bones were broken. And I wondered about that, you know, whenever I read that Jesus, they broke the bones of the other men on the cross so that they would quit. They had to pull themselves up to breathe. And if their bones, legs bones were broken, they would die quicker. It was like, it's not enough that you die, we want you to get it over with. We're tired of standing around watching you die, you know. So they would break their legs. But when they went to Christ, he was already dead. And it said, to agree with Scripture that none of his bones should be broken. So I wondered, why were not his bones ever broken? What is that about? And it took me to a verse where it talked about, if husbands in Ephesians 5, it talked about husbands loving their wife as Christ loved his church and gave himself for it, that he might cleanse his church with a washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any blemish. He didn't want his church to have broken bones. No broken bones to his wife. Now, Christ is a parallel of a husband and his wife. And the church being his wife, like Eve was created as God took a bone from Adam and created her from the bone. And he said, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Christ came in the flesh and he had bones. So his wife, the church, is like a bone out of the side of Christ. She is his flesh. She is his bone. And he didn't want one of his bones to be broken because we are his wife, his bone. Christ showed himself as an open door, inviting us to come and to see some things in the future, see things in heaven. And he also gave us some warnings of repentance, an invitation to buy gold by the things that really matter. And this gold is tried in the fires of repentance. He invited us into repentance. In Revelation 4, it said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice I heard was like a trumpet talking to me and said, come up here, and I will show you things that must happen hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and there was a throne set in heaven, and one who sat on the throne. And he that sat on the throne was to look upon like a jasper or a diamond and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow around the throne in sight like an emerald. Do you ever read those words and say, I want to go there? Ezekiel had a vision. Daniel had a vision. The heavens opened up. They got to go and see things in heaven. I want to go there. I go there. I mean, I don't go into heaven, literally. I go into the presence and the place, and I've seen a glimpse in my mansion, and I've heard things from heaven because God opened a door and said, come up here, and I'll show you some things. He opened the door because I asked him to. He opened the door because I am a mystery seeker. He calls me his detective. Are you a mystery seeker? Do you want to know? There's treasures. There are treasures of darkness and secrets to be shown to us. He puts those words out there to tempt us to want to know. He let those visions be shared, not to cause jealousy, to cause hunger. Ask him, God, I want to see more. I want to know more. I want to understand more. When you read his word, don't just take it at face value. Ask him. Open it up to me. Make your word live to me. Ask questions about it and wait and see if he doesn't give you answers beyond your understanding. Because he said, I have many more things to say to you that you can't hear now. When you're hungry to hear them, then he'll say them. Get curious. We saw the four beasts in heaven, full representation. In those four beasts were actually messenger angels. But one represented Father God, one represented the Son of God, one represented the Holy Spirit, and one represented man. That is so amazing because in John 17, he invited us to be one. We have the Father, the mother heart, the Son, and then the wife that the Son brings in, and that's us. We complete the family of God. We are part. We're never going to be equal with God. He's Father. Even Jesus said, I do what I see my Father do. He said, if you see me, you've seen him, because we're so much in oneness. We agree on everything. And when we come into that kind of oneness with Christ, where we agree on everything, as we're becoming one, in John 17, he said, be one with us. We are the bride invited into the family. We were the fourth face of the messengers of God. This is a great mystery. Father God is always the authority. We are not equal with him, but we are part of him. Then we saw the wings of the beast. And the wings of the beast represented everything. They were salvation, mercy, protection, support, relationship, transformation, dependency. Everything was seen in the message of these beasts as they come to earth. They had human hands and they had human feet. That's because to have any effect on earth, they come through humans. For the fullness of who God is to touch earth, he will come through us. Because Christ is in us, we are God's flesh on earth right now. And that's why it's important to be ready for what's going on right now. You're created for this time. Oh, I can't even hold this one back. Wednesday night, we're going to start looking into who you are and why you're here. Because you need to know who you are and why you're here. What is your mission? You need to know that. We've read that we were created before he put us in a womb. But did you know you were created before the world even began? You were created before the world began. I'm not 69. And you're not 14. We are thousands of years old. Before the world was created, where were we for thousands of years? Before the world was created. Even since the world was created, because I wasn't here when Adam and Eve were here. So if I say he created me one day before the world began, then I had to be in heaven thousands of years from the creation of the world until 1948 when he put me here. What was I doing? See, these are the things I ask God that open up visions to me. What was I doing? And what I looked like? Did I grow? Did I mature? Did I stay a little seed? It was a twinkle in your eye for thousands of years? I don't think so. It says he knew me. He knew me. Thousands of years I was in heaven in an intimate relationship. God fully knowing who I am inside and out. Everything about me. Instilling me with every aspect of him that he wanted to reflect on earth. Thousands of years. And then finally in 1947, 48, trying to find 9 months. I was born in December, so it was early 48. He goes and picks out the right woman who was a broken, devastated, divorced woman who'd been abandoned and brokenhearted. Both parents died early. Husband ran off with another woman. She's all alone with two little toddlers. And he says, oh, that's the right one. Perfectly planned to put me in that womb. And then he didn't leave me alone. He stayed in the womb with me. Every minute in that womb, he was with me. I don't even know me that well. I'm just beginning to know who I am in him. Who he says I am, not who I feel like, stuck in this carnal body, with only the memory that I have of this life and a few glimpses into that life. I have not had one glimpse into my life in heaven before I came here. I've had glimpses into my future in heaven when I get there. That's the glimpses I've had. I've not seen anything of thousands of years before I came. I got new questions for God this year. I want to see some of those glimpses. But based on that, God tells me who I am. Purely in spirit, without the burden of this flesh, without the intrusion and affliction and abuse of this life, who he made me to be and who I'm being restored to be and then who I'm being transformed to be. What is my mission here? Who am I? If you want those answers, come Wednesday night, because that's what we're going to talk about. And it's awesome. If you come or if you don't, ask him some questions. Get curious. Oh my gosh, the mysteries of God. There's not a book or a movie here that competes with the mysteries in God. Because if you can get a hold of who you really are, you'll stop living as though you're this person trapped in flesh. You'll stop living as though this life is what you're really about. This is just your mission. And when you get that, you'll start living your mission. And the other things are just interruptions or things you have to do here. You know, they're part of what you have to go through and do here. And they matter. But you keep your mind and your focus on those realities of why you're here. And when I think about going down to Ionia, walking the streets to meet new people or going to the prison, that's so not me. That's so not me. And I have struggled for 2 days telling God, you keep telling me I'm not outgoing, I'm not an evangelist. Now you talk about doing that, and that's, you're just going to have to really do it because it's not me. I don't know exactly the outworking of that. I just know that I've said, when you show me how, I'm willing. When you show me when, I'll go. But I used to be afraid to do anything. And now it's like, once I'm sure I know what you want, then I know you're going to do it. It doesn't have to be within the realm of what I think I can do. But I've got a list of who I know I am. I've got a list of who I know I am. And I like it. Like Stephanie, you talked about, I wish I were her. She's so energetic and so free, and so I'd love to be her. But if I could really see who I really am, I'm more the peace of God. And peace may sound like something kind of just, okay, just sit in your quiet corner and be peaceful. Peace is powerful. One time he showed me when peace is really released, that you can walk right up to an enemy and touch them and they'll melt. They'll just melt. You won't have to argue. You won't have to speak. You won't have to do anything. You just touch them and they'll melt. Peace is powerful. It's my anointing. You need to love your own anointing. And you do when you're walking in it. You love it. But then you see somebody else's anointing, you go, oh, I wish I could be like that. Stop wishing that. Just find out who you are so you can love who you are and walk in who you are and enjoy it. Because you will enjoy it when you're walking in it. We got some bodies that are just going to, I don't know, what happens to a body when they don't move? Physically. It deteriorates. They don't grow. If you lay on your back, your lungs fill up with fluid. I mean, you just, all kinds of bad things happen to bodies that don't get active, right? Got to get active. So when you find out who you are and why you're here, you need to start acting in what he wants you to do. We have a body full of ministers being trained that aren't ministering, and it's not your fault. God has been in a season where he's had us sitting and learning. But that season's going to end, and he's going to be, you know, putting some glass in your seats and bouncing you right out. If we take this little handful of faithful people here, and they get solid in who they are and what God has done in them, and they're ready to rise up, and each one could handle ministering to 10 people, then our 10 people just became 100. If their well-trained 100 becomes 1,000 like that, you have to be able to handle what God's bringing to you. Right now, he's had you in preparation. Long, hard preparation, because what he's bringing to you may be for you to handle 20 or 30 or 50 people. You don't know what he's going to set you over. So he hasn't been burdening you with hard labor right now. He's been training you. But it's for a purpose, and it's coming. Every one of you. There's things we've prayed for that are coming. We have an overview of events that were in Revelation, but I think, you know, if you guys want to talk, if you got things you want to say, we don't have to hurry through this. Do you want to say something? Oh, you look like you were just biting at the bit. No? Okay, I think we're just going to stop and continue it next time, because there's no big hurry. We've seen some awesome things there, and I was just going to give you an overview of the events, because we went so detailed and so long. So I think we'll start that next time, or whenever he lets us bring it up again. And we'll just go through the events of the book and see the order of how things are going to happen. We'll do that next time. Lord, we don't know why. We seem to be losing people, not gaining people, but that's in your hands. We're just going to keep doing what you tell us to do. The results are on you. But do tell us what you're doing, so that we are releasing you to do it. We don't mind reducing if that's your doing. We mind reducing if it's our fault. So we just put that in your hands and we offer you our willingness. We offer you our obedience. We offer you open hearts to transform us. We offer you our minds to take us into the unknown realms, to show us, to give us the glimpses. We ask you to open the door of heaven and invite us up. Let us see who we are in your realm. Let us get a grip on our mission, our call, our purpose. Wake us up, Lord. Stir us up. Encourage us. Inspire us. Visit us. And we ask you again for your great mercy, oh God, in healing all the sick, lifting the weary, meeting the needs of your people. We know there's hard things we have to go through. If we have to go through it, then give us grace. But if we don't have to go through it, give us faith and deliver us. Heal us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we love you. Amen.